Can you hear me okay, everyone?
Yes, good.
So for new friends, nothing to, you don't need to know anything. We'll just share a meditation and then we'll have some time for conversation. And of course, just be comfortable. And if you can sit without sort of being a couch potato, do. But everybody's like, ooh. But just feel totally free during the meditation to wriggle and stretch and adjust your posture and yeah. All right. Nice to see everyone. So let's, it's time. So when you're ready, you can just allow your eyes to close. Closing our eyes is the entering the shrine. When we close our eyes, we enter our shared space. So don't feel that by closing your eyes, you separate yourself. Not at all. By closing your eyes, you join the circle. And the circle is around whatever brought you here. We may have different names for it, but essentially it's the same thing that brings us to these gatherings. To be found in your heart right this moment. Give yourself permission to feel fully what brings you here today. You don't have to think about it, but feel it. The innocence of it and the sincerity of it. For some, it may be a longing, a cry for help. For others, a simple desire to share what you love the most. even if it's a bit mechanical and you just showed up here because why not? And if you were to excavate that a bit, if you were to dig a bit, you would find something very alive. Sometimes our longing or our love of truth is a little bit buried, right? That's why I like to remind us that it's not nothing to come together like this. It's powerful and meaningful. And whatever the reason, the whatever name you would give that which brings you here, we all, each one of us, we know that what brings us here isn't a desire for something to be different, even though we may think that's what brings us here. We may think, yeah, I'm going to go to a meditation because then maybe I'll feel better, maybe I'll finally understand. All this non-dual stuff. I'll be out of the woods. Something will shift. I'll get a glimpse. I'll be awakened. You know, all these ideas, spiritual ideas, are precisely not spiritual, right? They're just, well, they're innocent enough, but they're not really what brings you here. I know it, because I'm just like you. On the surface, when I go to meetings such as this, there is sometimes those thoughts. But when I settle along with my fellow humans in the shrine, just settle here, now, together, I know that that was never the reason why. So let's not do anything in particular. Together in our invisible shrine. Just welcoming the flow of your experience moment by moment. Even that may be too much to do. Feel that all is welcomed, so you don't have to do it. All is welcomed, moment by moment. The flow of your experience, like a river. The river flows, you don't have to make it flow. You are the river. Just flow. Your waters are made of every experience, every sense perception, every breath. every feeling in the body, sensation, every thought, image, memory, the sound of this voice. Everything that the mind likes to itemize, in fact, is part of one seamless current of life. So you can be surprised by your own flow. I'm going to read a quote that my friend Corinne wrote to me today by a poet called John O'Donohue, who some of you may know. And he said, "I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. I would like to live like a river flows." Let's just do it right this moment. Being like a river flows. Surprised by your own unfolding. Don't let your mind crystallize an experience into a thought or an idea or a belief. And don't let your body, in a way, crystallize a sensation into a me feeling. Let the body mind can't think of another word, so flow, unfold. Outside the shrine, we're constantly referring to the past and to the future, so obviously we're meddling with the flow, but here together, the reference is to presence itself, to the now, to openness. The riverbed is I don't know how to say it. Hopefully I'm pointing your understanding in the right direction. There's absolutely no past, no future in the shrine. It's way too much work. Just this flow. And if there's a, which there will no doubt be, a resistance, a boulder in the river, in the form of a contraction or a, I don't know, a line of thinking that is problematic, just see that contraction or tension or thinkingness is an experience. Very simple, just see that it's an experience, it's alive. It's as if you were placing it back in the flow. You take the boulder that is that tension or resistance, And you just place it right back into the river. And it might not dissolve immediately, it doesn't matter. You just then return to the globality, the totality of this unfolding of your experience. You don't need to get rid of anything. And because this feeling of our experience as a seamless flow is very, very, how to say, not very habitual, right? It's not how we usually experience our experience. So we have to be patient and kind. And curious. Shifting now to the experience of our body, more specifically, feeling our bodies. Just put to the side or forget the image of the river now and the flow and the sea. Just welcoming your body without any image, just the raw, direct experience of your body. But perhaps don't refer to the image in your memory. That's all. So really the tactile substance of your body in this now, in the moment, directly, for no reason. Feel your legs, your pelvis, the texture of the ground, the temperature. Maybe the weight of your lower body, can you surrender it to the earth? Don't just pay lip service to what I say. Visit the place where there may be a holding of the weight. And whisper to that place, no, look, we can let go. We can surrender the weight. I don't need the weight. You say to your hips, to your pelvis, to your legs, I don't need the weight, do you? And you can be sure they respond, no, we don't. And you let your legs penetrate the earth and you tell the earth, earth, you can be porous and friendly and warm. It's only an idea that says you're hard and that I must resist you. And you see if the earth responds and opens, let your legs dangle down deep as if your feet were resting 3 meters below. And shake your legs into the earth with your tactile sense. And don't worry if there's layers of discomfort, because there will be, because we're giving space to the body. We're saying to the body that it is welcome to surface in our open listening, So be very kind where you would usually be, shall I say, unkind. Usually when there's discomfort, we add resistance. And we distract and we do all sorts of things, but here together we form a circle of kindness to echo the infinite kindness that is our true nature. Now feel your, what shall we feel next? Feel the palms of your hands. Feel the heat, the tingling of your hands. For no reason, let it appear. When I say feel, don't really direct your attention. Let the sensation of your hands begin to shine because you just named it. Feel your fingers and the space between your fingers. And then feel the space beyond the hands. Just for fun, let these hands radiate like big gloves of light. Your hands, our hands, they're very, very quick to remember their numinous substance. Now feel your arms and from your shoulders, even from your shoulder blades, trace with your tactile sense, trace the sensation of your arms, encouraging your arms to become more liquid and to flow down through your elbows, through your forearms, through your wrists, through the deltas of your tactile hands. Don't live inside your body, you see. Let you, your body live in you, and you're this transparent, borderless map. Your body is the rivers and continents. Your arms now flowing. Your legs dangling. Feel your face and let it come to life. Feel your mask. That's what usually we feel first when we sense the face, our mask of defense. Our mask of affirmation. No judging, just tactile welcoming. Hello, face, forehead, eyes, temples, cheeks. Feel your cheekbones. Your eyeballs. Your chin, your jaw, inside your mouth, feel your teeth, pulsation of your teeth, tongue, gum, lips. Don't live in the face or behind the face so that the face can feel its freedom. You know, usually the face feels like it's the slave to the separate self. So it doesn't feel very free, right? To be serving the separate self all the time. But right this moment, feel like I, when I'm in this now, in this placeless place, I don't really need a face. I am faceless. I am empty. And then you tell your face, you don't have to, the boss is gone right now. You're free. You say that to your sensations of your face, eyes can, right eye can move up, left eye can move down. Lips can expand. Tension, bubbles of tension can venture out into the open space. Not just the face, feel the same with the shoulders. The neck area. Instead of pushing the whatever tension we feel that begins to surface, and then we sort of push it back into the separate self, sort of body bag feeling like, no, this in this moment, I don't need my shoulders to carry my psychology. I don't really need shoulders. So then the shoulders are like, yes. But yes, in the case of shoulders, may not mean instant relief. It may mean like how it feels when you're sore and achy and you slip into warm water and it's not immediate. It takes time for the healing to dissolve the accumulated tension. And feel your breath, because the breath is such a helper. The breath, when it's free, of course, the breath is a slave to the separate self too. My breath, which I like to marry to my psychology. So my anxious breath, my controlled breath, my shallow breath. So perhaps to begin with, feel your breath in its suffering shape. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but I mean feel your breath as it is right now, shaped by the belief in separation. You may feel a sense of tension or holding, of pulling the in-breath or pushing the out-breath. A sense of not completely allowing the belly to relax and expand with the in-breath and gently contract with the out-breath, that kind of thing. Just very, very kindly welcoming the breath of separation. As if you're welcoming a wounded one, acknowledging the wound. Feel, I am not a separate breather. So breathing is not something to be controlled. And then maybe, say to your breath, I'm so sorry. It's not my fault. Nobody's fault. Seems to be a very, very universal phenomena, this phenomena of suffering, of believing myself to be separate. But now let's explore a breath that would begin to be free. Just feel your breath, the flow of air through your nostrils, touch. Let yourself be touched. The in-breath, the out-breath. The very gentle, natural movement of your belly. Nobody breathing, you say, just breath. Nobody pulling the breath, just the in-breath, like a wave. A pause, and the wave descends, dissolves with the out-breath. Nobody needs to push. And as I say this, you may feel the habit of breathing, the habit of pushing and pulling even more. Be very happy if you do, because it means you're witnessing, sensing, touching the tactile experience of separation. It's just an innocent sensation or set of sensations. And again, just feeling this wave of in-breath from the root of your pelvis. It travels up to the head like a wave. And the out-breath the other way around, with a pause at the bottom, with a pause at the top. And the breath becomes an ambassador for the openness that surrounds the body, so that with the in-breath it permeates the body with openness. And the exhale, it takes whatever would be willing to be taken back to the openness. When you breathe like this, you can apply a little filter at the back of your throat, so that when you breathe, it makes a sound. And I'll come closer to the mic, it makes a sound like this. It's called Ujjayi breath. And it helps you evoke and feel a breath that is even, smooth, kind, and expresses the openness that you are. I don't live in the body, in the body breath. The body breath moves in me. Feel yourself to be the borderlessness. Just be open to that. Feel yourself to be that which right this moment perceives the breath, the bodily sensations, the sound of Ellen's voice, and itself is not perceived. A borderless riverbed. Now push your head a little bit towards the ceiling so that your spine naturally elongates. At the same time, let your legs and your pelvis surrender to gravity. So there's And your arms too, so there's the flowing down of the limbs and then a rising up at the center of the body. Make sure your chin remains aligned in the correct place that a chin likes to be. It will tell you, you don't have to make it. A And then push the top of the head just a little bit more. Feel the vertebrae floating one on top of the other. And then don't push anymore. Surrender all effort. No weight and no effort. Just feel your torso like a cloud, free floating in the sky. Don't refer to an image, just your tactile current sensation. See that it's porous, it's like a cloud, your body. Gently let your forearms lift off your lap, your upper arms alongside your body. But again, you're just with a sensation. Feel your shoulders. And then just let your shoulders, like two clouds, float up towards your ears. Very, very slow, smooth. Don't do it. Do it, don't do it. Taste it. Breathe. Don't breathe. Breathe. Yes, now slowly let the shoulders, clouds dissolve back down. Again, you're that which ripples or is rippled by the sensation. Smooth sensation. Yes, my shoulders are still dissolving. And then let your arms settle back down, wherever arms go when they are not needed. And then let your spine round, collapse your skeleton. Nothing fancy. Enjoy that sensation. Feel your back body touching the space beyond. Yes, and now slowly feel a line of energy rising from the pubic bone, but try not to do it, just a flame of energy rising from the pubic bone. So the whole front of the torso is licking the space in front as the torso elongates. It's happening from the sensation and it's effortless. Allowing the verticality to return. What's happening in your hands and your arms and your shoulders and your face? Have you reclaimed the body as your headquarters, you the separate self? Very hard to resist. Now slowly let your torso move, just whatever. Don't think about it. Your torso, your spine, your shoulders, your head, your arms. Just feel the whole torso being moved by invisible currents. Discovering the unfolding moment by moment, no ideas. Your arms may leave, float away from your torso into the space. The mind will want to take charge. Just let the brain sink into the skull. Too tired, lazy to think. Just this tactile, flowing body, like a river plant being moved by the currents. Hands are very alive, the hands, the elbows, shoulders. Yes, and now very slowly, without doing it, let the body return to you, I want to say, you being the openness, just let this sensation of the body dissolve in you. slowly, like a sugar cube dissolving in water. It's an offering of the body. Hello, body. Feeling the layers as they feel a little bit more invited, maybe. Slowly now the torso turns towards the left side, very slow, like a ghost. Ghost body turning towards the left. Don't let the separate mover come in, so it's just a sensation rippling through openness. And you pause, and then in the pause you feel the posture as a sensation that you let expand in all directions. That you let empty of its weight in all directions. You're offering the body to presence. It's sacred. And now very slowly, here it goes again, the ghost body. Make it smooth. But don't do it. Nobody doing it. I am the openness. Tasting this movement. When does a separate mover come in to push a little bit, to stretch a little bit, to twist a little bit? Don't let it. Discover what this separate mover body is made of. Taste it for what it is. Yes, now the posture. Feel it in its totality, in its layers. Make it one cloud and then empty it of all weight, all tension. Offer it to the space all around. But not trying to get rid of anything. That's the trick. And the torso comes back to the center. And the arms dissolve. As soon as we are trying to get rid of something, we're outside the shrine, back in the marketplace, trying to make deals. Be willing to feel whatever's here, and if it's uncomfortable, there may be feelings, emotions. What a place to welcome them. This could not be a better place. We're together. We know, even if we are not 100% touching it, we know in our hearts that all is well. In the now, all is well. And there is only the now. And so you can allow all that is not well, seemingly, to come out, to limp out. And maybe touch the all is wellness If your attention is drawn to a particular tension or density that seems to resist any suggestion that all is well, maybe you need to go sit with that place, that localization, that place of suffering. You just go there with your tactile sense. You go sit there with your tactile presence. And you go to that place, that sensation, that feeling, that difficulty, and you gently, gently remove the label that burdens it, the story. The stigma. You take that away gently, and then you sit with the raw feeling or sensation or tension or density. You have no agenda. Except kindness. And the kindness that you offer, which is your innate substance, but you sort of bring it as if it was a tangible thing that you can offer the difficult place. It's like you're bringing healing to the wounded one on the battlefield. But then you don't have an agenda whether the thing will dissolve or do this or that. No, not at all. At some point you move back, your attention moves back to include the totality of your experience so that you can reunite every sort of, every part of your experience. It becomes the river again. So I think what I'm saying is that when things are crying out for attention in our experience, we can come close to gather, to bring kindness, or to gather that experience in our embrace, to gather it back into the flock, so to speak. To remind that area, that place, that it is also a child of the now, of God. And then we go back. We open our attention back to the widest aperture. Feel your whole body again. Feel touch of the air on your skin, on your hands, on your face. Feel also where your clothes touch your skin. feel that sort of envelope of the body, which we usually take to be the envelope of myself, the edge of myself, the border beyond which it's not me. In this moment, let yourself really taste how the sensation, the actual tactile feeling of the edge is quite fuzzy. And that really you can't really, if you're honest, if you're tactily honest, you can't really find any hard line. And enjoy that. Give yourself permission to enjoy the openness. On a tactile level, the inner space of the body intimately connected with the so-called outer space. Your breath help in whatever way it knows how. The pores of the skin relaxing, the sense of touch delighting, tactility, sensuality, very alive. Ask yourself, do I have a border right this moment? Do I feel an end to myself on a tactile level? And if you do encounter an end to yourself, a border, see that it isn't. See that it's a sensation that a bit like a boulder floating in openness. It is being perceived. And once again, venture off to explore if you can find a border to yourself until at some point you think, oh no, I know there isn't. Let me enjoy my borderlessness. Which doesn't mean that there's not things floating in there, but nevertheless, now just feeling the breath, the coming and the going of the breath. The shape of your body, such as it is right this moment. The wave, you know, we don't have to get rid of our shapes, of our individual shapes. They're like the wave to the ocean. So feel your shape. Your individual shape, but feel how it intimately connects with the borderlessness. Somehow. And then and don't do anything. Just listening. Listening to listening. We're going to take a 5-minute break and then we'll come back. Go gently. Thank you. Welcome back. Your turn. Well, we have about half an hour, so feel free to ask questions which I may or may not know how to answer, or share anything you know. It's just an open space. I don't really have agendas with this half hour. Usually we have Corinne with us and she always ends with a poem, but she's not here today, so don't be shy. And if you do want to say something, you could just wave, and there's no obligation. So there you go. Yes, Sue.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
I think you need to unmute yourself.
No, I'm not muted. You can't hear me?
I can hear you.
There we go.
Something not working.
Oh, still?
If you want to, you can type your question in the chat if it's easy. Oh, you can hear her. Okay. From I'm not.
Someone
talking.
Can hear me.
Can you
but
hear
some.
Her? And I can't. Okay, so let me just. Hold on. Let's see. Zoom preferences. Audio. It's me. Okay, I can hear you now.
Great.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So that was very wonderful. And I've been in a very stressful situation. I'm involved in an unjust lawsuit, so it's been incredibly stressful. And I just experienced from the very beginning of that meditation so many releases. So first there were mudras, and then there was chanting, and then there were divine names that came, and then lots and lots of laughter. And then towards the end, I was chanting in these different tonalities, sometimes very, very high, sometimes very, very low. And for the first time, or maybe the second time in my life, I experienced, I guess it's called synesthesia, where the tones had colors. Mm-hmm. So that was very interesting and beautiful. And and then lots of divine names I was chanting. So thank you. That was very beautiful and exactly what I needed.
Good. It sounds like you had quite an experience. Well, I hope your lawsuit goes as best as possible.
Thank you so much.
It sounds challenging.
It is very challenging. Mm. In fact, it's disappointing because, you know, I've been so resilient and strong in recent times. And I expected I could just float kind of on sort of like there through everything. But this has sometimes gripped me. Not, it's funny, it wasn't the lawsuit, because I saw the woman who's doing that kind of, yeah.
I just, because we don't have that much, but I just want to say.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Being gripped, being dragged down by the, what's, how do you say it? By the scuff of our necks, by life, events such as the one you're experiencing is not a failure at all.
Mm.
It's not a failure. And I think, you know, I think there can be sort of a disbelief that if something challenging brings us to our knees, we somehow are spiritually failing, because we had sort of this notion that, you know, all you had to do is sort of take your stand as awareness, and then you suffer, you sort of, that's just simply not the case, I don't think, for any of us. And so, you know, What an opportunity in a way.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, I think I'm sorry, Sue. I hope I didn't sort of jar you when I say that, but I think I feel that very strongly these days, that it's an art to know how to suffer, to you know, and in spiritual circles, we really don't know. in many ways, precisely because we're in spiritual circles, we have so many ideas about obstacles in life, obstacles and challenges, and so many sort of spiritual strategies and so many spiritual beliefs about. And so I think when life hits us with something like that, it's sort of the invitation, I think, is to not know, to sort of we have to surrender. We're brought to our knees. None of the spiritual sort of ideas. I mean, I'm not saying that there's nothing to what we've understood, but the whatever idea we may sort of use as our bedrock, that gets taken away from us. And I don't know you, Sue, so I'm just using your example to say that. But
this is my first time here, Ellen. Thank you so much for having us and guiding us through that meditation. I've been sitting with experiencing a lot of loneliness, and it seems to be wrapped up in fear for me. I wake up with it every morning, and it almost feels like a vacuum or something in my heart center. And I'm just wondering how to be with it.
It sounds like a very important place, Heather. I don't know how you should be with it. I certainly don't have any sort of certainty about that, but I definitely think that your desire to understand it, you should be very, very careful that desire is purified of the desire for it to go away or change, which will inevitably be there, because it's I can see it's a deeply core, it's probably the core place of suffering for Heather, which, you know, in a way is such a treasure, because you have it at its very core. And it's a place that you don't even have too much content. It's so foundational that you wake up in the morning and there it is. And I'm sure you're not the only one. I know a place like that, and I suspect many of us. And, you know, like that idea of the dark night of the soul in the Christian tradition, or all, here it is in a way. It's that place of hopelessness, or the place where there's nothing you can do, the place where. And so, You have to be there on your knees, and let's say you have to be there and perhaps have the image of being on your knees when it's there with your palms open. A bit like Jesus on the cross when he sort of called out for his father, thinking his father had forgotten him. At that place of not knowing and of suffering, that's the best we can do. Because at that moment you are suffering, and you are that one that feels empty. And so the best you can do is to open to the possibility that there's help somewhere, there's a reason, there's a meaning, there's a pathway, there is God, or whatever you like to call it, but there is no bypassing this place. And help will come in many guises, and I know it has already. And the place may not disappear for some time, but it may change. Your relationship to it may change. It may soften. Life will, as long as you keep your sincerity, and as long as you continue to inquire and stay true to your pure intention, I have no worries that you'll be met. But from on a body level, because this is supposed to be a sort of, when you're with that feeling, you know, you can just really welcome it at its very tactile level, at its purely tactile level, if you can. Let it just really fill you and just experience it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Heather. Thank you for your tears.
I think Alex waved his hand.
Alex, where are you, Alex?
I did, actually.
Go ahead. Thank you, Alice.
It was a truly wonderful meditation, Adam. And I think for me, it was very fluid for most of it. And then when I was about three quarters through, I think there was some kind of, this was all fine and well, but now we are making some problems that I call real obsolete. And I felt this undercurrent of pulsions of wanting to confront the tensions and sufferings very hard.
Did you say, Alex, that with this meditation, we're making the problems obsolete? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I felt. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And so then there was a rebellion against.
Yeah, when I sort of caught up with it, that it was almost done, you know, I had all these impulses of confronting them so that I could call them real, I guess, instead of allowing. And yeah, that took me quite by surprise.
But that was part of your yoga, you know, that was part of your adventure today. How to say this? Because there's two things you're describing. So it's really great how you're sharing with us this process that at some point, okay, it was fine and going with the flow. And at some point the mind, something in you sort of said, oh, wait a minute, no, these, I can't, I need my problems or something like that. And then it came back with a sort of vengeance, the separate self, you could say, the belief or the need, not just the belief, the need to believe that my problems are real and tangible. And I don't want, you know, first of all, I want to say that there is a reality to our problems. You see, I'm not as much of an absolutist as other non-dual teachers. And I do feel that our relative problems, our sufferings, our personal problems merit some attention. And so maybe that thought came because you don't want, you know, you don't want to overlook the story of Alex, which includes difficulties, traumas, suffering. So, and that's a fair enough point. So there's that, but then there's also, I think, and I can recognize that, the fear of, you know, of letting go of my story, of my problems, of whatever footholds we use to assert ourselves as separate selves. And then what happens in order to re-establish that separate self comes in the guise of what you are describing.
Mm.
So it's perfect, because in the yoga you get to see it, to we're never going to be rid of this habit of separation. It is so natural. How could it not be? So, but what we do is we become acquainted with the sort of dynamism of it. We become much more acquainted with how it asserts itself on a bodily level and on a sort of mental, cerebral level. And that's it. I mean, after that, whether or not it disappears, at what rate, completely, no, it doesn't, ultimately, it doesn't matter, because we are honest. We are being honest. We are looking with honesty at the situation. We're wondering about who we truly are, and either we're investigating that, or we sort of know that, and then we're investigating the residual habits of feeling or thinking ourselves to be separate. And we're doing our best, you know. Gee, it's not easy, you know. I don't know, does that help or resonate?
Yeah, I guess it does, yes. Thank you.
You can say more, Alex. It doesn't sound like you're very satisfied with that.
Really?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I can't, I...
No, I don't know. I guess it took me a while to accept this, what I described, this impulse as another thing to allow and observe. And, you know, obviously, it's hard to see it as part of the experience. And but when you do,
I think what you're saying is that the experience was really the experience, as long as it was flowing, and as soon as there was this little hiccup of, then it's hard to understand that that too is part of the experience. But yeah. Surely, Alex, you understand that. That actually, mm-hmm. the fact that you could witness that little so-called hiccup was exactly what this yoga is for. In a way, this yoga is not just to feel ecstatic, and it is also meant to expose these habits of separation. So it was not a failed yoga. It was a successful yoga, precisely because you caught that habit. You just caught it. There it was. And you saw it. And you're reporting back to us. So, you know, next time, it's not that it won't happen again, but somehow in seeing it, you sort of slowly unstick yourself from it. It's just an old dynamism. And then, but next time maybe you'll go deeper into it, into investigating it, because you'll see the thought, I need my problems, but you will feel the feeling that comes with it, which is a tension or a contraction, and you'll just be witnessing it, and you'll be like, wow, look at that. That's the separate self. It's a bundle of sort of sensations and thoughts, and it's articulated and it's habitual, and yet I'm so convinced it's true and it's me, and you'll begin to. So it was good.
Mm.
Even if you were disappointed.
I know, I was not.
No, I know, but. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks.
I would like to ask something.
Of course.
So you said that, well, so when these hiccups are, like you call them, when they come up, it's not a failure, it's just coming up to be seen and released. That's my question.
Yeah, and not even released necessarily. You know, like when the hiccups come, it comes. So what can you do? It's here. So because we are together sort of in a spirit of truth, right? This is what brings you here. It's this longing or attraction towards truth. And what I mean by truth is you're open to the possibility that your true essential self is not separate, is not a fragment, right? So when during these explorations we sort of take our stand as the openness, as the borderlessness, even though we may not feel it, we sort of start there because we know that's the truth, and then we explore the experience of the body and try to feel it in line with that understanding. And the hiccups comes. Why? Because usually, habitually, we actually do believe ourselves to be a fragment, and therefore we feel our body in accordance with that belief. Even if we know better, we still do that. So during the yoga, the hiccups will be many. You will feel a habit of holding yourself as a separate self. You will feel the weight being held. You will feel all sorts of so-called hiccups. And so what to do with that? Nothing at all, because you know what it is in that moment when it comes, that moment where you catch the holding, or when you, as we explore the face, you feel the tension in your jaw, right? And then Ellen says, just allowing the face, the sensations of the face in openness. And so therefore, that which was a hiccup, which was a contraction in your jaw, is allowed effortlessly to continue to surface, and is eventually seen to be just a sensation, and eventually is sort of seen to be not even a sense. I mean, in other words, if you let, you don't do anything.
So
it's not easy, because we're always doing something. So it's more like it's a process of relaxing the doer. So first there's the hiccup, and then there's going to be this, I don't like the hiccup, I need to dissolve this freaking hiccup, something needs to happen, right? So then that's a second hiccup. And then there'll be the third hiccup. But at some point, you'll something will be said, that you, there'll be like a magical hiccup dissolver, which won't be you, the separate self. Like Ellen, I'll say, or whoever will say, for example, I'm not in the body, the body is in me. And somehow that will have a powerful hiccup dissolving potency. And it won't be something you're doing.
So if there is like a lot of contraction or density, it's just the invitation is just to keep coming, right? Yeah,
the indication is to be patient, because it's not fun. Yeah, I know the layers of tension and all this. But
Just be
patient and try to connect with something to do with kindness, openness, space. So there are helpers, you know, in the form of certain words that might point to a feeling of wholeness, or of spaciousness, of openness, of kindness. Kindness is important, because the reason the body feels so riddled with tension is because it's not safe out there. It's not kind out there. It's I need to hold myself safe from out there, the others. So when we evoke this quality of kindness or sweetness or welcoming, eventually it does translate on a tactile level a little bit, and then a little bit more. And then there's something else that helps.
Because this is my first time attending, and your meeting. And yeah, there was like resistance and like, so it doesn't, that's just part of it.
That is right? Absolutely part of it.
Okay.
Don't think you failed. Really, it's really is part of it.
So I don't have to wait to be better at it. Come. I can just come.
Come. You're very good at it, because precisely because you felt your resistance and you noted that there was a lot of resistance. That means you're good at it.
Okay.
I hope you come back, Amna. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Okay. What time? Yes, we're out of time. Well, thank you everyone for coming and for your questions. And wait, I'm putting... Feel free to unmute yourself to say bye and hi. And
thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much.
You know, this yoga, it's not easy. It's demanding. I just really want to say that there's something about it it's very slow, right? We don't move very much. We're just there. It's so, no, well done for just hanging out with me here.
Thank you. Princess. Thank you, Adam.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye to everyone.
Bye everyone. Bye Ted. Bye Sharon. Bye Sue.
Bye.
Bye. Bye Ellen.